Football.
It's the football, 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 and sometimes other sports show. Here's your host, AJ Nicoletti.
What up? FFFSOSS.com. At FFFSOSS. Turn and trim. Twitch.tv/AJNick3. What's good? Thursday edition of the pod ahead of the final weekend of college basketball's regular season. That's what we will do in the kickoff. The look ahead to three ranked matchups at the weekend for college basketball regular season finales. We got soccer to talk about after that. Champions League round of 16 second legs. Weekend soccer preview, including the big showdown at Anfield. Liverpool hosting Manchester City 1-2 in the Prem, separated by only 1 point to this point at the campaign. So we'll do that. Then some golf at the end of the program with a look ahead to the Arnold Palmer Invitational, which is a great, great field. I haven't watched the full swing stuff yet. I will watch it. I skipped the live stuff. I don't care. You're never going to get me to care. Once somebody goes over there, they're almost irrelevant to me. I'm never going to pick them for majors or anything like that. And like, Brooks was one of my guys. I really don't care anymore. So I will watch Full Swing. I skip out on the live stuff and some of the other guys that I just don't care about. I don't watch. So we'll do Full Swing maybe next week or figure it out after the tournament, something like that. But on this program, this is Thursday edition of the pod. We got college basketball ranked regular season finales to look forward to. Talk college basketball after that. And then some Champions League round of 16 second legs, weekend soccer preview, and some golf at the end of the program. All right, kick it off. College basketball regular season finales. We got three ranked versus ranked matchups at the weekend. You got across three different conferences. The showdown in Houston, Kansas going to Texas to take on Houston. 14 versus 1. You got number 15 Kentucky traveling to Knoxville to take on number 4 Tennessee in the SEC. And then in the ACC, the best rivalry in the sport, Carolina goes to Cameron Indoor to take on the Duke Blue Devils in a top 10 showdown. The number 7 Tar Heels take on the number 9 Blue Devils in Cameron, one of the best venues in the sport for one of the best rivalries, if not the best rivalry in the sport. So yeah, Big 12, SEC, ACC, three ranked matchups. Definitely a one seed in Houston, potentially a one seed in Tennessee. A lot of people talking about UNC getting a 2, Duke probably a 3, maybe a 2, but probably a 3. And Kentucky and Kansas on that, you know, 2, 3, 4. They could be anywhere depending on how the committee judges them. Again, the rankings, guys, at this point of the season are more what have you done for me lately than an all-encompassing, you know, ranking. So you look at KenPom, you look at the net for that kind of stuff. Because you look at some teams, like, some teams are in the top 20 in the net and don't have that best, the greatest record, and they're going to make the tournament. People are like, why is that team in the tournament? They don't have, look at their rankings and some of these other statistical categories. I mean, it's outstanding, some of these rankings. So back to these three games. Kansas and Houston. Kansas can make a really big statement. Kansas can make a really big statement that says, yeah, we know Houston's really good, but this is our league still. And they're going to win the regular season, fine, but we're going to win this game, and then we're going to go into Kansas City, and we're going to find a way to win that tournament, and then here we go into the postseason. You know, like, I could really see that Kansas team stepping up with a big effort on the road, at least being in that game, and giving Houston 40 minutes of everything they want. So that's a really good game. And Houston, again, every kind of matchup they have in this league is a measuring stick game for them. It's their first year in the league. Some of these teams are leaving in Oklahoma and Texas, so they only get them, you know, the twice or maybe once, depending on when they play them this year. So you got a Houston team that's trying to say, hey, we're the new kid on the block. We know some more teams are coming in next year, but hey, we're going to be here, and we're going to beat you, Kansas. We're going to beat all these other teams in this league, and then when Arizona comes in, we're going to beat them too. So Houston, like Kansas, both can make a big, big statement with a big, big win headed into that Big 12 tournament. Then you got Kentucky and Tennessee. Kentucky got blitzed in the second half against Tennessee in their own building. Didn't really shoot it tremendously well and didn't play great defense. Tennessee's X factor is Kinect. He's good. Don't get me wrong. He's changed their team. If they do something, it's because of him, because the core and the coach, you know how I feel about them. So Tennessee at home, senior night, I guess Vescovi and Ziegler are done, you would think, right? I don't think they have another year, do they? Who knows? But you have those guys, a bunch of other Tennessee vets, and a Kentucky team that when they are efficient on offense, when they're scoring the basketball, when they're defending even a little bit, you could see that team getting to a Final Four, cutting down some nets because they are that talented. And Cal, I know everybody knocks him, roll the ball out. He doesn't coach. He does pretty good man management, to be fair to him, because look at all the egos that he has to deal with coming in. All these kids are all American, all that stuff. And he's got to get them to play a role or figure out their minutes and all that kind of stuff. So you got to give him credit for that. And honestly, yes, I know there are better X's and O's coaches than Cal. There's no doubt about that. It's obvious across the landscape of college basketball. But he has gotten better. Let's not say he's a schlub out there with the clipboard, okay? So let's give him a little bit of credit. And I think that Kentucky team, and I am just saying this because I don't like Tennessee, Kentucky could absolutely go into Knoxville and steal that game. If they score the ball, they can't. There's not a lot of teams that can score with them. Now, Tennessee, we've seen score. But I don't know if they're ready to get triple digits. Because that's what Kentucky can do. With Dillingham. Dillingham is so special. Oh, man, he is some type of player. So that's a really good game. And then the rivalry of all rivalries in this sport. Carolina, Duke. Duke did not play a great game in Chapel Hill. I think they'll be the first ones to tell you that they didn't shoot it well, and if they shot the ball better, they would have felt a little bit better about the loss. They didn't play well, and I think that almost bodes well for them into this game because we didn't play well, we lost. That's what it is. Here we go. Fresh slate. Got a game at home, and listen, Carolina will always have the game where they spoil Coach K's final game of Cameron, and then they beat him in the turn. We know. We get it. It happened, right? But this is now John Shire's team and John Shire's program. And can John Shire get his Duke team to rebound after that loss in the Dean Dome? They've put together a pretty good run since then. Obviously, the Wake upset was the blip in that. But this is a Duke team that I don't think can win the Natty, but I think could, you know, possibly get to an Elite Eight, Final Four, if it all breaks their way. But they got to shoot it. McCain's got to be big. Because you know Davis and Bacot. You know they're going to come to Cameron with their A game. So those three matchups, like in a packed Saturday and a solid Sunday, as we get ready for these conference tournaments next week, those three games, you got to have your eyeballs on. Kansas-Houston, that could be the Big 12 final. That could be an Elite Eight. That could be a Final Four. That could be a Natty, that game. Kentucky-Tennessee could be the SEC final in a week's time. And, of course, Carolina-Duke could always play in the ACC final. We know that. So, three games that are featuring six really good clubs, four of which I have that could win the Natty, leaving Tennessee and Duke off. And those are three really, really good games that you got to get your eyeballs on. You got to get your eyeballs on Saturday. All right. So let's talk about the games Tuesday and Wednesday this week. Purdue-Illinois. Purdue, a really good second half comeback. Road win in league. Ranked opponent. That was very impressive from Purdue. And Smith has really, really grown on me as his lawyer, as his like, Smith has really become that floor general that Matt Painter needed him to be. Because with Edie, you know, you're at the discretion of the whistle. Are you going to get a good whistle on Evie? Are you going to get a bad whistle on him? Because he could get fouled almost every possession. It depends on if you call it or not, right? He gets hacked across his arms going up all the time. So for Purdue to go on the road in Champaign to beat Coach Underwood's club, like, that's a really good Illinois team. That's a really good Illinois team that has scorers, that has veterans, that has those kind of dogs. Like, Hawkins, even though I think he shoots it too much, like, he's a guy I would have on my team. You know, he's a guy that wants to win, you know, and you see it in every play. So, Illinois, very good team. You got to give this Purdue team a lot of credit. That's a hell of a win. That's a hell of a win. Bama and Florida. Bama has been struggling down the stretch, and I almost regret putting them in that segment on Tuesday saying that they can win it because they just – they've really struggled. They've really struggled in some games just defending – just in general, like, I get it. They're trying to outscore, but you can't score 87 a game, can you? And win 87, 82? Like, you're really going to win that way? That's crazy. So they at some point have to play some defense. And to Florida, give Florida credit, man. Give Florida some credit. That's a big win. Kansas got revenge over Kansas State. They pulled away late to make that one a big differential. You got Nova going to the Pru. Seton Hall, a big win. Both of those teams on the bubble. I think the Big East is getting five teams in. You got UConn, Marquette, Creighton guaranteed. And you got Nova, Seton Hall, St. John's, and Providence. Four teams for two spots in that Big East. So we'll see how it plays out. But Seton Hall, a big win over Nova on the bubble there. Tennessee went to South Carolina. Get a big win. Give them credit. Give that Tennessee team credit. Connect was great again. Michigan State squeaks out a win against Northwestern at home on senior night. Iowa State wins a tight one against BYU that they end up squeaking out as well. And then UConn gets their first win over a ranked team in a long time on the road. They survive in Marquette. No Kolick again for Marquette, so you got to figure he really wanted to play in this game, ranked showdown, but you got to rest him for the Big East tournament and the big tournament. And honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if you don't see him in early rounds of the Big East tournament. You know, that first game, I wouldn't be shocked if Shaka tries to get a game in New York without him. I wouldn't be shocked about that. All right, the rest of the weekend slate. Arkansas, Bama. Bama has to get a win here. Their seeding is free-falling as we speak. They have to get a big win over Arkansas. Arkansas has had an unfortunate year, but they can still get a good win, Bama. Iowa State, Kansas State. Kansas State trying to rebound off the loss of Kansas. Iowa State trying to follow up that win against BYU on the road. Kansas State really needs it. I think they'll probably get in because the Big 12 is going to get 9 or 10 teams in, which is insane. But they could really use a data point, a big win over Iowa State. That would help them. OU Texas for the last time in the Big 12, unless they play in the conference tournament before they both head to the SEC. Oklahoma's been a weird team. They pick some teams off in their league, and then some games you're like, that's the same team? Texas, to me, is the Big 12 version of Michigan State. Talented. I think Izzo's a better coach than Terry Fine, but talented veteran teams that I just don't get how they're not winning more games convincingly. So I think Texas at home will find a way there. Creighton, Nova. Nova at home has turned up the defense. They've done a really good job of, even if they can't score it, they're hanging around in the game because they are defending so well. And I think with Creighton coming to town, Creighton knows they're the third choice in the Big East. Creighton knows they're going to have a tougher path in the NCAA tournament because they are the third choice coming out of the Big East. They're not in that two conversation. Obviously, they're not in the one conversation. They're probably a four at best, maybe a five, depending on how the committee sees them. But they got to go to Nova and find a way to keep scoring. And Kalkbrenner against Dixon is a hell of a matchup, even though Dixon's a little undersized versus Kalkbrenner, but that's a great matchup. South Carolina goes to Stark Vegas to take on Mississippi State. Mississippi State's an interesting team. They could get a good data point for themselves and help their chances as they try to gear up for an SEC tournament run that could boost their NCAA tournament hopes. We mentioned it before, Kansas and Houston, gigantic game. The Houston guards are special. The Kansas four and then the supporting cast have to be there if they're going to win anything. That Kansas team and that Houston team is really, really special. I'm looking forward to that one. And you follow it up with Kentucky-Tennessee. SEC's best game on the weekend. Tennessee could possibly pass Arizona to get to that one line if they keep getting some impressive victories to close out this season in quad one. So Tennessee's fighting for a one line. Kentucky's fighting for a better seed and some revenge for sure. Absolutely. Marquette Xavier. Xavier, disappointing season. They had a good start. You know, conference play, they were picking off some teams, and then it just kind of fell apart for them. Marquette tries to bounce back. I don't think you see Kolick in this one either. I really would be shocked if he couldn't play the UConn game and he comes back and plays the Xavier game. It's almost meaningless. Like, that wouldn't make sense for me. That being said, Marquette is still good enough when they're undermanned to still win a game on the road. So I think they do. Baylor, Texas Tech. Texas Tech gives teams a lot of problems, especially if they're ready to go defensively at home. Baylor, with Drew, his guards can play. You want a little more from the front court, but Bridges is good. Massey is good. And those guards can play. I mean, six guys getting double figures, that's outstanding. That's outstanding. So I do expect Baylor to find a way to win in Lubbock. Carolina Duke, talked about it in the open. UConn Providence. Providence fighting for their lives. They didn't let Georgetown ruin their season, which was good. Now you got to put up a real good fight against UConn and possibly win the game at the dunk. Because then that really helps you. Because, again, I think it's four teams for two spots. Seton Hall, St. John's, Providence, and Nova. Four teams for two spots because they're only taking five from the Big East, not six this year. So Providence fighting for that spot needs a data point against UConn. Wisconsin-Purdue. Wisconsin's been in a free fall. Wisconsin is not played good ball since the calendars really turned mid-January. Into February, now into March. They've struggled. And, yeah, they've won the occasional game, but they are not playing the ball they played early in the season, even early in conference play. And Purdue is trending. Purdue is playing some real good ball. Purdue, I understand people do not forget and will not forget their last two exits. But they're doing a lot for the people that are paying attention to say, hey, we are a different team, and we are coming for that. So give Purdue a lot of credit. Yeah, Michigan State going to Indiana. Indiana announced that Mike Woodson's going to be back. I like Mike Woodson. I think he's a good coach. Indiana fans are crazy. They're absolutely lunatics, and I get it. It's an all-time program. The history, the state of basketball, you want to argue it, fine, whatever. Give the guy some time. He had Race Thompson and Trace Jackson Davis for a few years, and they've moved on. So you got to get a whole new team. It's tough. It's tough in this league, in that league. So I do expect Michigan State to keep putting together some wins. And then you got Illinois, Iowa. Illinois trying to bounce back after the Purdue loss. Iowa is a team that's saying, hey, we have a tournament resume in this league. We've had some big wins. We score the ball. We played in our right schedule. Like, so I wonder how many teams the Big Ten is going to get in. And I think on Tuesday we will do the bubble, who needs wins, all that stuff, that we'll do that segment. I really like that segment. That's fun. So we'll do that and build that up for Tuesday's show with the conference tournaments already underway for some, and then the big ones getting underway next week after this final weekend of the regular season. You got the three big games, Kansas and Houston, 14 versus 1, 15 versus 4 in Kentucky and Tennessee and Knoxville, and then the big one, number 7, Carolina, travels to Cameron to take on number 9, Duke. Some big games, some games that will be data points for the committee to measure the seedings and the matchups and who's in and who's out. So a big weekend in college basketball, the last weekend of the regular season. Got to tune in. Got to have your eyes on those big games. All right, let's go to footy. Champions League, round of 16, second legs, the first wave of those. Real Sociedad hosted PSG after PSG won the home leg in Paris 2-0, and they won the away leg as well, 2-1. Mbappe, a brace, Marino had a goal. Consolation for Real Sociedad. They lose on aggregate 4-1. PSG through to the quarterfinal. Bayern turn around a 1-0 deficit from the leg in Rome against Lazio. They win the second leg in Munich 3-0. Kane, Muller, Kane, the goal scorers for Bayern Munich as they turn around that 1-0 defeat from the first leg. And you got a little some smiles from Tuchel, some smiles from Muller, from Kane. You know, like a week ago, it was all doom and gloom, you know, especially a couple weeks ago after they lost this first leg. It was certainly doom and gloom. But they still have a chance to get a trophy as they are through to the quarterfinal of the Champions League. Wednesday matches, Real Madrid, Red Bull Leipzig. Madrid were up 1-0 from a first leg victory in Germany. Second leg finished 1-1, a Vinicius goal. Orban got one back for Leipzig. Appenda had a boatload of chances, at least three that I could think of in the first half, where he could have got that scoring starter for Rebel Leipzig. Instead, Madrid get the opener with Vinicius, and then Leipzig would have needed two. They got one. They did not get a second. Madrid through to the quarterfinal. And Man City at the Etihad against Copenhagen off that 3-1 first leg victory. They win the second leg 3-1 as well. Akanji, the opener. Alvarez. Elianusi brought one back for Copenhagen, but Erling Haaland got his goal, of course. So City, Real Madrid, Munich, and PSG through from this first wave of round of 16 second legs. And I don't think there were really any surprises there with those four teams going through. All right, let's go to the weekend soccer preview. Starting the EPL, Manchester United host Everton. Everton have played better but haven't been getting the results they've been looking for. They got a little bit of help with the point reduction being reduced to 6 from 10, so that's good. So it's like they picked up a win and a draw back, which certainly helps in the relegation fight. Every point matters, as we know. But they go to United, and United have been, they were up for a while, and now a couple of not the best results. And with Højlund out and Rashford playing striker, and then them having to work around a different formation up front with their attackers. And I'll tell you what, Bruno Fernandes, he's not a captain for me. He just isn't. He just isn't. What he does is not, he's not a leader. So I think they have that issue. In the midfield, Mino's been brilliant, but who else do you put in there? Casemiro can't play a 90, it seems like. McTominay, he's afraid to play and start a whole 90. Eriksen can't go a 90, it seems like. So who do you play in that midfield? And defensively, between, I know Martinez been banged up, Varane, Johnny Evans, and Maguire, like those being your first choice center backs, like that's tough. So United have their work cut out for them. I understand their fans are always looking for them to like get back, and we're back, United. Like, you're not back yet. Like, and Ten Hag could be the manager possibly, but you're not back yet. So Everton will give them a game at Old Trafford, but you got to think if you're United, you got to find a way to win that match. Wolves and Fulham, two teams that have been both winning some matches, losing some matches, haven't been really able to put an unbeaten run together, but two sides that have been scoring some goals recently. Harry Wilson's coming back into that Fulham team and been a goal scorer and provider. Munoz has had some big games for them since coming in, and Gary O'Neill has Wolves playing well. Give them credit. So I think that'll be an exciting match. Hopefully a high-scoring match of the Molyneux to get everybody excited and up in their seats. Maybe like a 2-2, 3-3 draw. Crystal Palace, Luton. Crystal Palace, if they get Elise back and fit for this run, I think they'll be fine in avoiding getting in that relegation fight. They have Eze back, which is big. But they need to be healthier, you know, and that's unfortunate for a team like that, because they're not the likes of Man City, Liverpool, and Arsenal that suffer injuries and still are able to compete at the highest level for all these trophies and all these opportunities to win these trophies. But Crystal Palace, like when you lose Elise and Eze for an extended period of time, like those are your goal scorer threats, you know, game in and game out, and providers and just players you can look to make a moment happen on the pitch that's unlike any other sport, like soccer is. So Luton's been playing hard. Give them credit. They fight every match. It's outstanding effort, and it's very admirable for sure, but they are getting outclassed in some of these matches, and it's not really their fault. And Crystal Palace have an opportunity to do that if they had everybody, but this could get interesting. I think Luton could steal a point here, but Crystal Palace need it. Bournemouth, Sheffield United. Sheffield United is getting drilled, especially at home. They get an opportunity to go away from home and maybe get right a little bit, find a way to keep a clean sheet and get a result. Because Bournemouth, you know, Billing to me hasn't been at his best form this season. You know, I thought last season he was in really good form. Solanke's been good. Semedo's been scoring goals, to be fair. So they've been getting some goal-scoring threats. Can they keep it going at the Vitality at home against Sheffield United? Sheffield United's been getting battered, and it's pretty simple that they're one of the teams going down. Because they, at least, like, Luton is fighting, and you could see Luton stealing some points and making it interesting and possibly getting to, you know, 17th and not 18th. But Sheffield and Burnley are just been very bad. Arsenal-Brentford, London Derby. Brentford, famously, since coming up, have been taking some points off Arsenal. But really, since then, Arsenal has turned the tables back on them. So, the thing that interests me here is Tony's back. Wiss is back in scoring goals. He's not the only guy that the defense can focus on the other teams with Tony up there. Janssen's been good. So I'm expecting a very, very good game there. Very exciting, very good game at the Emirates. Arsenal and Brentford. And Arsenal will probably win that game. Villa-Tottenham, big match. Tottenham, you have a lot of your guys back. Van de Ven, Romero, you got a lot of your top choices available in the midfield. I know you don't have everybody, but you got a lot of your guys available in the midfield. You got a lot of attacking options. And Villa are in a spot where at home they can really cement their spot as the team being chased for that final four spot in the top four. You know, if they lose this match at home against Tottenham, like, that opens it up again. And it's not close after this match by any stretch, but if Villa are able to distance themselves in this match, because this is a six-pointer. You know, like, we'll get to another six-pointer at the top of the title race in a few games, but these are gigantic games because they mean so much. Because, yes, you can basically, you know, win all the games you're supposed to win, and then you play against the team that you need to beat and you don't beat them, well, guess what? That's your season possibly. So it's tough. It's unfortunate, but that's the way it goes. You've seen clubs lose titles by 1 point, and those 1 points being like centimeters. So in this one, to separate the top four, I think Villa at home get a result. Even though Tottenham are back relatively healthy, I still think Villa just have a little bit more at home. They've been really good. Give me Villa. West Ham, Burnley. West Ham, since getting Paqueta back, have been different. Him, Bowen. They put kind of Ward-Prowse in the 10 there. They play Alvarez and Suchek behind him. And they have players. Zuma's getting goals off set pieces. So I expect West Ham at home. Moyes will name it a side that's going to dominate the ball and play and score goals, because Burnley are in a bad spot. They're in a bad moment. They don't have enough. Brighton and Forest. Forest, I know these people are like, we got raw. I just don't see it, how the way the game played out with the situation in the first half is the exact same way it played out in the second half. So you can't get mad at that. I'm sorry. Like, you just can't. That's just not how it works. Like, so I don't know, but Brighton, they have not had the best results. You know, they started off pretty well. Everybody's talking about De Zerbi, and now with Matoma out, they've had some other big injuries. They haven't been able to get João Pedro and Ferguson back into those goal-scoring flows and rhythms that they have had earlier in the season and the campaign. So this is a big game for both teams. I expect Brighton to come out and aim a good quality side. I expect Forest to, with Nuno, set up pragmatically to try to get a point out of the Amex. So that's a really interesting game to see how the, both teams line up and play. And the big one on the weekend, Liverpool, Man City at Anfield. Liverpool in first, Man City in second, separated by a point. This is an absolutely gigantic match, probably the match of the year when you look at it with all the circumstances surrounding it. I understand City go on a run where they play the rest of the top six, I believe, over the next six or seven games. So you have that on the horizon for Man City, but it starts with a trip for to Anfield. And Man City don't have the best record at Anfield. Some of their best results have just been 0-0 draws or draws in general. Like, it's very difficult to win there, we know. But even in big matches, it's extremely difficult to win there. So Liverpool, unfortunately, are dealing with an injury crisis still. However, Mo Salah, Dominic Szoboszlai, Nunez, it looks like a lot of these guys are back in full training and have the opportunity to feature at the weekend. They have a game on Thursday in the Europa League, which for my money, I would just say play the kids. I don't care about Europa League. I really don't. No offense to that league. But City have a Grealish injury. It looks like Nunez came out of the Champions League win earlier on Wednesday. So a couple knocks there, but De Bruyne, Haaland, Foden, you know, Silva, Alvarez, Doku, these guys will be ready to go up front. And then with Rodri in the middle of the park, you pair him with Kovacic, you put him really with a lot of guys, because then Stones could walk into the midfield as well. And they have a million options at the back, you know, the way Pep can do it. So City do have a couple of injuries, yes, but not like Liverpool do. I'm not making excuses, just explaining the situation. And I'm expecting a really big match, because with Klopp's last season, this could be the last City-Liverpool game unless they meet in the FA Cup if it's drawn that way. But this could probably be it in the Pep first Klopp, you know, era, because, you know, they've matched up in Germany. They've matched up in England now with the two top teams for years. So it's a gigantic match. It's the most important match of the season. I understand you can say, well, every match is the most important season when you're in a title race. Okay, I get it. But, like, you're not playing against the champions, what, 3 years running. So every match, you're playing against them on Sunday. So gigantic match. Draw earlier in the season at the Etihad. I think it's a match that will be goals in it, you know, because the draws have been, you know, 2-2 for the likelihood. There's only been 1-1 draw, right? There's only been one 1-1 draw, I believe. But a lot of scoring in these matches. There's usually not like a 1-0 nick it. Now, I know Salah has the winner at Anfield with the Cancelo and how his Man City career ended. But it's a gigantic match. It's a gigantic match. It's everything in the Prem. So look forward to that one on Sunday. And then Monday, you got Chelsea, Newcastle. And Chelsea, there's moments when they're playing better ball. And yeah, they've had some issues for sure. You know, with Pochettino and a lot of people not believing that he's the guy, whatever. But I still think they deserve time. I like a lot of the players they have. Like, Palmer's a baller. Enzo's a baller. Like, I think Caicedo can be a very pragmatic six, but he's fouling everybody right now. But he's kind of known to do that, to be fair to him, coming over from Brighton. But that's the Chelsea story. For Newcastle, Newcastle's a side that's been dealing with injuries the whole season at key positions in the midfield. And they've missed a lot of their key guys. And they're coming off a campaign where they had top four, big sights, you know, Champions League nights back at St. James Park. They're trying to stay in Champions League. Like, it's been difficult for them. So Monday night, it's kind of like a game of, okay, who's season can you end on a higher note? You know, they've had similar seasons. La Liga, Barcelona, Mallorca. You got Cadiz, Atletico, Girona, Osasuna, and then league leaders Real Madrid take on Celta Vigo at the Bernabeu. Serie A, Bologna, Inter, AC Milan, Empoli, Juve, Atalanta. Bundesliga action, Rebel Leipzig, Darmstadt. I don't know. Bayern and Mainz, Bremen and Dortmund. You got Leverkusen and Wolfsburg as well. Ligue 1 action in France. PSG hosts Stade Reims. Golf, you got the Arnold Palmer Invitational down there in Bay Hill, Florida. It's a great field. Rory, Scheffler, Spieth, Morikawa, JT, Fitz, Jason Day, Keegan Bradley, Justin Rose, Matsuyama, Harmon, Clark, Lowry, Adam Scott, Webb Simpson, Cantley, Shoffley, Homa, Hovland, Fleetwood, Ricky Fowler, Sam Burns, Will Zalatoris, Sungjae Im, Siwoo Kim, Minwoo Lee, Saeed Thakala. It's a gigantic field. Big, big event. At the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Yes, it's an invitational, so the other event is the Puerto Rican Open, I think, happening for the other players that are not invited to the API at Bay Hill. But always a fun tournament. You got to watch some of the action on Sunday. There's always a good hunt. And if the course is in great shape and the scoring conditions are up, you see a lot of great shots, a lot of great rounds, you know, because Arnold was a scorer, as we know, and he was a very creative golf striker of the golf ball, an artist with the ball in the air. All right. So that is the show for this Thursday. Got a lot of college basketball in the regular season finales to talk about at the weekend. So we will talk about that on Tuesday. Look forward to conference tournaments as well on Tuesday's show. We'll tell you who's going to make runs, all that. So that will be on Tuesday's show. Bubble talk. And enjoy the weekend. Enjoy Liverpool, Man City. Big, big weekend in sports. We'll recap it all next week. Everybody have a great weekend. Until then, peace.
Sometimes Other Sports Show. That's the name of it? Guys, check out his podcast. That sounds like my kind of podcast. Football, 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 and Sometimes Other Sports Show. Sounds like me.